Okay, we are studying about the death and victory over death. We already did the part one. Today we are going to study the part two. We are going to start with a couple of verses. Romans chapter 6, verse 9.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
Okay, now this verse is saying, knowing that the Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death had no power or dominion over him, means over Jesus. The death was hanging over the man from Adam to Moses. But after that, we learn when God gave the command to Moses to bring the sacrifice, and giving the sacrifice came the forgiveness for sin, and we learned last week, I'm not going to repeat that. Today we are learning Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, he's alive, and he's not going to die anymore because death has no dominion over him. He is victorious over the death. The Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus Christ said, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. He says, I am he that liveth. Who is talking? Jesus Christ is talking. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And have the keys of hell and of death. That means he is in charge over the power of death. Before that, the devil was controlling the death, but he defeated the devil, and now the keys of hell and death is in Christ's hand. And now he is saying, I was dead, now I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. That means when Jesus Christ came from the grave, and 40 days and 40 nights, he showed himself to the disciples and everybody. But not a single Roman soldier or the single Jewish rabbi was able to arrest him or kill him again. And so when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, that gave us hope. Now when we die, we will be also be alive. And so let's go to the St. John chapter 11 and start reading from verse 25 and 26. You know the story. Lazarus was dead. Jesus didn't come on time. Lazarus died. When he came, both sisters were a little bit angry and sad. What Jesus Christ said. Let's read.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Now, this is the assurance, this is the hope Jesus Christ is giving. What he's saying, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. He live. That means he is saying, I am the resurrection. If you know who I am, that means I am the resurrection. I have the power of resurrection. I am the life giver. I am alive. So if you believe in me, if that person who believed in me, if that person died, that person will come to life. Now he was talking that Lazarus was a believer. He believed Jesus Christ. He was a friend of Christ. So he said, if he believed me and he died, I will raise him again. And the verse 26, said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So somebody might be thinking when you read this, how come? 2,000 years ago Jesus Christ came and many people are dying and they are still dying. How come Jesus Christ says, if you believed me and you died, I will raise you? And if you are alive, you will never die if you believe in me. So the people are thinking this is some kind of gimmick. But this is not a gimmick. How it works, we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Please read verse 16 and 17. St. Paul is saying Jesus Christ is coming. When Jesus Christ comes, dead in Christ will rise first. And then who are alive, that's going to transform. That means that particular time, the believers, they don't have to die. So these scriptures, St. John chapter 11, 26, be truth. Okay, here he's saying, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the dead in Christ, that's the same thing Jesus Christ said, if you believe, if the believers in Christ died, he said that person will rise again. So same thing St. Paul is saying, if you believe in Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ comes, so dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17. Then, which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So what he's trying to say, Jesus Christ will come and raise the dead first, and when we are alive, we are going to transform, and together we are going to go and meet the Lord. That means if Jesus Christ comes today, we don't have to die. So the death is conquered by Christ, that's why. And so this kind of hope, another religion, they don't have this kind of hope. We have hope in Christ, because Christ conquered the death. And that's what the Word of God is saying. If somebody doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is risen, then their faith is useless. Now, there are so many denominations. There is a one denomination, even they're Christian, they don't believe Jesus Christ is risen. They say Jesus Christ came and died for us, but we don't know he is risen. The Muslim people do not believe Jesus is risen, because Muslim people, they think when there was a darkness and they switched the Christ from the cross and they crucify another man. But if they bringing that theory, doesn't have any meaning. Jesus Christ was beaten many a times, and he was carrying the cross. He was almost half dead. He had no strength when he was dying. And if somebody takes him from the cross, and you take all the nails and take the nails from the hands and feet, do you think that man is going to walk somewhere or run away somewhere? No. But still people have foolish theory that they took the Jesus out and they put another man there and Jesus did not die. Why? Because the theory the devil is bringing this way, so when you say Jesus did not die, that means he did not conquer the death. If he didn't conquer the death, then we have no power over death, and Jesus doesn't have power over death, and we are so miserable people. But the Word of God says Jesus died and he rose again. So the Jesus died just like the other religious leaders. They died and they didn't rise. Some of the people made the stories, like we have a story about Jesus. Jesus is risen and his tomb is open. But some other religious people say, oh, our leader also was risen. Where is he? Where was his tomb? They cannot show his tomb empty. They can just say he is risen. Some of the people say even the Mary also went to heaven. But there is no proof and there is no history written. Somebody makes up the story. Because we have the proof of resurrection. And I made so many series about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, giving the proof from the Word of God that Jesus Christ is risen. But here we see 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 17, if somebody doesn't believe Jesus Christ is risen, then their faith is useless and they are still in their sin.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins.
See, this is St. Paul is saying, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain or useless or no value for your faith, and you are yet in your sins. That means he's saying you are sinners. Because you are sinners, you cannot believe that he is risen. Sinners cannot believe the miracles of God. So if somebody says, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ who is risen, that person is not born again. That person is a sinner. That's what he's saying. You are yet in your sins. The sins blinds the eyes of mankind. And the devil is behind it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Please read.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Who is doing this? The devil is doing it. And what he is doing? He is blinding not the eyes, the minds. He is blinding the minds. And why he is blinding the minds? So they should not see who Christ is. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine unto them. That's why he is blinding the minds. And so your mind is blind, our mind is bombarded with the sinful ideas and sinful activities, and you are thinking about the lust and the world and the fame and the glory of the world. You cannot see the glory of God, the image of God, the Christ risen, or Christ is God. That's what the devil is doing. So the devil is blinding the minds. That's why if somebody doesn't believe in God, what is the reason? The word of God says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the fool doesn't want to know God. The sinner doesn't want to know God. And that's why there is a blindness in their heart, in their mind. So the word of God is saying, if you do not believe that, then you cannot have eternal life. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So he said, if you want to get saved, you have to confess. Confess means you have to open your mouth and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. You cannot get automatically saved. If you go to somebody and say, are you saved? I guess so. Are you saved? I don't know. Are you saved? Oh, I am saved. How do you know you are saved? Somebody told me you are saved, or somebody prophesied over me that you are saved. Doesn't work that way. If you want to get saved, you have to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. You have to say, Jesus, I love you, come into my heart. I believe that you died on the cross of Calvary for me, and you are a risen Christ. I believe that you are alive. When I say that with my mouth, and I believe that in my heart, that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, then I get saved. Otherwise, if somebody doesn't talk about Jesus, doesn't believe in it, they cannot get saved. Verse 10. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth of confession is made unto salvation. So he says, if you believe in your heart, you are already righteous man because you believe Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for you. But if you are born again, child of God, you cannot keep your mouth shut. You have to have witness. You have to have courage to tell somebody, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord. If they don't confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, people deny Christ, just like Peter did. Peter denied Christ 3 times. He said, do you know Jesus? Oh, who Jesus? I don't know him. Who is he? And he starts cursing. Because he said a couple of times and they don't believe. So he actually started cursing. He thought if I start cursing, then he will say, hey, he cannot curse. He was with him. But he did 3 times. But still God forgave him. But the word of God is saying, that's why if somebody asks you about Jesus, you have to confess. Yes, I believe in him. Because if you believe that, you got the righteousness of God. You are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have grace of God. You are a child of God. God's protection is there. You have to say to anybody. The word of God says, you should not be afraid of anybody. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28, it says that the world or any enemy wants to kill you, he will kill your body. He has no power to kill your spirit or soul. So we should not be afraid.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Who is that? God. God has power over your soul and your spirit and your body. Everything is belong to God. But the enemy, the devil who wants to kill you, you don't have to be afraid of that person. Because if you are afraid of that person and if you deny Christ, you go to hell. But if you acknowledge Jesus Christ, even though they cut your neck or they destroy your body, still the real man is inside. The real man they cannot kill. The real man is a spirit man. The spirit man is eternal man. And once the person is born again, saved, no one can destroy that man. Only God has power. So we have to think that we should not be afraid of anybody. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Then who gives the spirit of fear? The devil, the enemy. So God has not given us the spirit of fear. What he has given us? He has given his love, his power, and his sound mind. Once we have sound mind of God and the love of God, then we don't have to be afraid of anybody. And so we can confess with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. Go to the St. John chapter 8. Start reading from verse 21, 23, and 24.
Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.
See, he says, I am coming from above. You are from beneath. You are from the worldly people. I am heavenly man. But what I am trying to say, I am going to go to heaven. You cannot go to heaven until you believe me. And so he said, if you believe me, then you shall live. And if you don't believe, then you will die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, you go to hell. That's what the word of God is saying in Romans chapter 6 verse 23. It says, the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is trying to say, I came from heaven. I came seeking for you. I want to give you eternal life. You have to just believe in me and receive me as your Lord and Savior. Otherwise, you will die in your sin and you will go to hell. And so God wants us to live for him and for his glory. Book of Romans chapter 6, starting from verse 7.
For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Okay, now he says, for he that is dead is free from sin. Who is that? Any person. He that is dead is free from sin. Now Jesus Christ died, rose again. He never committed sin. He was completely Son of God and a holy man. But at the same time, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then what happens? We are dead to sin. And we are alive to Christ. And so we are free from sin. People are saying, oh, it is impossible to live a clean and holy life. I say it is not impossible. Because once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he gives you supernatural power to live holy. Verse 8.
Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So, dead with Christ means we have committed our life to God and say, Lord, I'm for you. I live for you, and if I die, I die for you. I am not living for myself. I have given my life totally to you. And that's the kind of Christian life people will live, and then they do not have to live in sin. Verse 9. We already read this, but we're going to read it one more time.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
See, as Jesus Christ died once, he was risen, he destroyed the powers of death. And so he said, if you believe in him, the same kind of power and same kind of experience the believers will have. Believers do not have to die anymore because he has given us victory over the death. Let's go to John chapter 6 verse 50.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die.
Jesus Christ is talking about heavenly bread. He said in this chapter, John chapter 6, he said the manna came from heaven, they ate and they died. But I am the bread from heaven. So he is trying to say, I am the real bread and my blood is the real drink. So he says, I came from heaven as the bread of life, and if anyone eat this bread, they will never die. Now somebody says, this is too hard to understand. What he was saying, my words has power. My word has life. Whatever the word I am giving you, you should be feeding on those words. Not eating his real flesh, but he was saying, the words I am giving you, those words have life. Just read verse 63, same chapter, John 6:63. He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they have spirit, they are life. So the words has the life, the word has the spirit. So he says, feed on the word. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, he says, the man shall not live by bread alone. So how can man live? He said, every word comes out of the mouth of God. You listen to that word, you exercise, you obey that word, you will have eternal life, you will never die. So same idea, when once you feed on Christ or feed on his word, you will never die. That's what the meaning is. Okay. Romans chapter 8 verse 13.
For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
See, if we live after the flesh means what? After the worldly desire. If we are living just for the food, if you are just living for the luxury, if you are just living to be famous in this world, if our motive is here to be a big person in this world or not thinking about God, then we are miserable. So he said, when you're living in this world and you're not living for God, then you shall die. That means each and every person who is born into this world, everyone is going to die. We just learned last time, Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, he says, it is appointed man once to die, after that the judgment. So the man is going to die. No matter what kind of vitamin you eat, no matter what kind of exercise you do, no matter how good food you're going to eat, you are going to die. Maybe 120, but you still die. You are not going to live here forever. That's what he's saying. For if we live after the flesh, he shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, he shall live. That means you have to let your spirit live and your body to be dead to sin. And so when you live by the Spirit, not live by the flesh, because people are led by the flesh and the Spirit follows their flesh, and then the spirit will be dead. But if we live by the Spirit and let the body follow the Spirit and let the body be die to the world, die to sin, and live in the Spirit, then we'll live forever. That's what the plan of God is. Once we die to the world, die to the flesh, live for God, live in the Spirit, then we shall live forever. And that is the plan of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
See, Adam brought the death into this world. How he brought it? Because of sin. Sin brings death. Adam committed sin. Sin came to this world. Jesus Christ came as a second Adam, as a new man, did not commit sin, overcame death. That's why when in Adam we were dying, but now in Christ we can be live forever. So that's what he's saying, as in Adam's all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This is the message for the whole world. Any other religion, they don't have this theory. They're all going to die, but for us, all people believe. Muslim believe we came from Adam. Jewish people believe we came from Adam. Some other religious people don't believe, but these three major religions, Muslim, Jewish, and Christian, we believe we came from Adam. So if you believe that we came from Adam, the Adam brought the death into this world. Why cannot we believe that Christ defeated the death, came out of the grave, and he's alive? So when you believe in him, the death will be conquered and we can live forever. That's the Christianity. That's the hope we have in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's read verse 14 and 15.
For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
See, the Jesus Christ loved the mankind, and how do you know he loved us? He gave his life for us. The word of God said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for what? To die for the mankind. So once we believe Jesus Christ died for us, Jesus Christ's love has so much power, just like a magnet. He pulls you to himself. The devil has power. Devil is trying to destroy the world and pulling the people towards him. But once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have lots of power of love, and that will bring to Christ. So in short, what he's trying to say, we know this. One man brought the death and judgment on us. But once we know that if we live for Christ, then we are not going to die in this world. Verse 15.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Now he's trying to explain here. He says, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for us, and if you judge it in your spirit, now I don't have to die because I believe that my death is conquered by Jesus. Then he says, he died for all. Who is he? Jesus Christ. That they which alive should not henceforth live unto themselves. What does it mean? He says, now he died for you, then you live for him. Now somebody says it's difficult. If you love him, you will live for him. Somebody has a beautiful child or beautiful wife, and they said, why are you working so hard? I'm living for my child. I'm living for my wife. I'm living for my family. I don't care how much I suffer. I work 14 hours, 15 hours. But you know why I'm doing it? I'm doing for my family. The same way, if we love Christ, then whatever the troubles and problems comes to, he say, hey, he died for me. I'm going to die for him. And I'm going to live for him because he is going to give me that eternal life. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my life. So I am living for him. So once we have that kind of idea that we are not living for us, we are living for Christ. And then we will be conquering the death. We will be living a victorious life. People are struggling. Why? Because they are not sold out to Jesus yet. That's why people living defeated life. But once we got the idea that we are going to live for him, then we will not have problem. Okay, that's why Paul is saying, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. So he says, if I live for Christ. If I die, I die for Christ.
For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
St. Paul is saying, if I live for Christ. If I die, that's a gain. Means it's a better thing. Because this world is miserable. When loved one dies, people cry and cry and cry. But I tell people, if the person was born again and saved, that person went to the eternal home, the better place. Why should we worry? But why we cry? Because we miss that person. But that person is happy. When you are born again, children of God, we are living for God. If we die, we go to heaven. And St. Paul is saying, I'm in puzzle. I don't know, I should live or I should die. If I live, I live for you. If I die, I go to heaven. Okay. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24.
Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Okay, now see here, he says, who, he's talking about Christ, his own self bare our sins. So Jesus Christ on the cross took our sins on him. We learned last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, on verse 21. He knew no sin, but God put your sin and my sin on him. And he became sin for us. So now he says, who, means Christ, took our sin on him, means on his own body, where? On the cross. He says, on the tree. That was a cross, wooden cross. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Now, if somebody believes Jesus Christ took my sin on the cross and nailed it down on the cross, that means what happened? Your sins are gone. So when your sins are gone, that's to say, you being dead to sin. That means Jesus Christ took my sin, nailed it down to cross, so I don't have any sin. Where are your sins? I am dead to sin. I am dead in Christ. That's what he's trying to say. Once the believer believes that, my sins are gone on the cross, he took it from me, I don't have any sin in me because I believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. Dead to sin, and then what? Should live unto righteousness. That means if I'm dead to sin, I'm not sinner anymore, then who am I? I am the righteousness of God. I am the ambassador of Christ, representing Christ on earth, telling the world, look at me. I was sinner, now I'm saved, my sins are gone, I am dead to sin, I live for Christ, and I have the righteousness of Christ. And then he says, by whose stripes we were healed. By whose stripes? Whose stripes? Christ's stripes. Christ took the stripes beating on his body. In those days, they had to give 39 stripes. If they give 40 stripes, then they cannot beat any more time. So they give 39 stripes to Jesus, and they would wait, and then they will start again, 1, 2, 3, like that, and give another 39. And so somebody figured it out. Jesus took not one stripe, 39 stripes each time. So they figured it out. He says, with his stripe, we are healed. By whose stripes we were healed. This is Peter saying. But the Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, he says, with his stripes we are healed. So the Isaiah said we are healed. Peter looking back and he says, we were healed. Where? On the cross. So with his stripes we are healed. And what? How many stripes he took? One at a time, 39 stripes. Now somebody did the research and they said 39 category of sickness and disease. Certain kinds of similarity they put in one category. another disease, another category. Like that, they put 39 categories of disease. Now, they don't make 40 categories. All the sickness, new sickness, or whatever it comes, they fall in 39. And so he says, he took the stripes for every disease, every pain, every problem. You can be having any problem. That problem can be healed by the stripes of Christ. That means in Christ, we have healing for our body, for our soul, for our marriage, for our finances, everything what you think. We have solution in the blood of Jesus Christ. On the cross, we got everything. Once you said the person is healed, what does it mean? No more sickness. It's completely healthy. Our finances is healed. That means I don't have any financial problem. Our marriage is healed. That means our marriage has no problem. So everything can be healed in Christ. When we believe in Him, we crucified with Him, we died to sin, and we live for righteousness, and then we can live healthy and victorious life. Because we have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary just for me. He shed His blood for me. Now I'm not mine, I belong to Jesus Christ. Read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. See what he says here. What? Know we not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? What is he trying to say? Your body is not yours. Your bodies belong to God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so how we became God's body, or how God started dwelling in us? Read the words following. So he's saying, verse 20, for we are bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How it happened? He said, on the cross of Calvary, he shed his precious blood. With his blood, we are purchased. So if you believe that I'm a born-again Christian, that means I am purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am belong to Christ. So he says, glorify God with your body, soul, spirit, everything is belong to God. Once we give everything to God, then God rules in my life. The devil has no throne in my life. And so, we have to live for Christ. Now somebody says, you know, I belong to Christ, but once in a while I go like yo-yo, go up and go down, and go up and down. If the people go up and down, and they die in their sin, what will happen? Somebody says, oh, even though you die in sin, God will redeem me because I am saved forever. No, it doesn't work that way. What happens when we deny Christ or we go away from Christ, we will lose our eternal life. The Word of God says we should be faithful until what? The death. Let's read the Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Be thou faithful until what? Until death. There is no middle ground. Just like you are running in marathon, and you start running, and you went 10 feet, and you stop, are you going to get a crown? No. Same way Christian life. You cannot start a Christian life in 3 years or 2 years and say, that's enough for me. I cannot run Christian life. You lose your crown. You lose your eternal life. So the eternal life you get, you have to be faithful until you die. There is no middle ground. And so, let's read the Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 and 13.
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
See, There is no middle ground. You have to be faithful until you die. You run your race, run your course. And then the word of God says, when we die in the Lord, then we will be having the fellowship with God for eternity. And we will be then resting in God. We don't have to worry about any labor, any pain, any suffering. Our God is going to give us grace. People sometimes say, I don't know, the enemy comes and try to harass me or something like that. I don't know how to stand. God gives you supernatural power for that particular time. And He will give you victory over it. Because once you are born again, child of God, you are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to have faith in God. And even though they kill us, they don't kill the real man. They kill the body. So we will not have that second death. Revelation chapter 20 verse 6.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
This is a blessing. He said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Jesus Christ is risen, and he is coming back for his people, and we will be resurrected again, as we read in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we will be with him. So he said, those people who are resurrected in the first resurrection, they will not have the second death, or they are not going to die, because the death has no power over us. And that's why he said, then those are the people will be ruling in the 1,000 years. They will be priests and kings and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. And that's it, the blessed hope we have. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away.
Amen. This is the hope for Christians. He says, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain. All these things we went through in this world will never come to us. In heaven, there is no pain, there is no sickness, there is no disease, but we are going to live with Christ forever. That is the hope for Christian people. Verse 8, Revelation 21:8.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
See, we do not have second death, but the people who lived sinful life, in the judgment days, they will be resurrected and judge according to their sin, and they will be cast into lake of fire. That is called second death. We are redeemed from the second death, and we do not have to die anymore if Jesus Christ comes. The word of God says we are passed from death unto life. Read St. John chapter 5 verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Passed from death unto life. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ, that person will not have second death. Not only that, this person will not have any judgment. Not only that, this person is passed from death unto life. That means death is not going to rule over the born-again believers. And so he said, if you believe in me, even though you are dead, you will be rise again. And if somebody believes in me, they will never die. That's the hope we have. Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 10. We're going to finish it.
Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Amen. This is hope. When you say, who died for us? Who died for us? Jesus Christ. That whether we are awake or sleep. Awake or sleep is not talking about the regular awake and regular sleep. He says awake means alive, sleep means dead. If you are dead in Christ, or if you are alive in Christ, we are going to make it when Jesus Christ comes. We don't have to worry, oh, Jesus Christ coming, I'm not going to sleep tonight, I'm going to miss. We don't have to worry. Even the sleeping, or real sleep, or sleeping in Christ, we are going to make it. So, God is watching over us. We don't have to worry, oh, I don't want to die, I'm afraid of dying. We don't have to worry about death. Death is conquered by Christ. Okay, we are going to pray. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to learn about death and the victory over death. And we believe Jesus Christ has given us victory. We are not afraid of dying. There is no death for us, because your word says we pass from death unto life, and there is no condemnation. We will not have judgment. We will not have second death, but we are going to live forever. And we are waiting upon Jesus Christ to come. Give us grace, O Lord Jesus, and patience to walk according to your will and your plan, and live here as a victorious witness for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.